Welcome back, my friend, Chef of the Fat Man to Blue Collar Chefs. Thank you, Chef. I appreciate you.
Excuse me. You can bring that back now.
I'll tell you what. This is beautiful. I'm actually going to post some of these pictures. This is beautiful. This venison is absolutely incredible. And you know, when you were talking about doing this kind of searing first, getting the nice crust, then letting bring up the internal temperature to about a buck and a quarter or so, one of the things that's become very popular, Chef Eric, you hear a lot about it, but we were having an interesting conversation out here last night while we were sipping on some fine social lubrication and smoking fine cigars, and someone said, I've been hearing a lot about reverse searing. And so I kind of explained it, and people were amazed. They'd heard of it, but I hadn't heard it explained, so I thought, aha, this is where Chef Eric can really shine. So once again, I give you the opportunity to become a superstar by letting you show off your knowledge.
Okay.
So let's talk a little bit about reverse searing.
So, especially if you like properly cooked meat and you don't butterfly butcher it, butterfly burn it, butterfly butcher it again.
Careful about.
Hey, that's your wife, not mine.
Yeah.
The best way to get a good mid-rare without, you know, a lot of people when they cook medium rare, they'll get the rare sort of right in a little strip down the middle.
Yeah.
And then it goes from the edge of the meat down into from gray to sort of light pink, and then you get to the red. And that's just not appetizing, right? So if you want the same color all the way through, you cook it in the oven first, and you can go 400, 425.
Or an egg.
Or an egg, absolutely. And you get up to about 125, typically 120, 115 even, if you want to truly be mid-rare. When you pull it out, it can actually rest. So you can also do the sous vide, by the way. You can sous vide it and hold it at 115. Well, if you've got a bunch of people you're doing it for, you can hold it all exactly at 115. That way you're ready to go à la minute. So à la minute. So you can prepare it right
quickly.
Away. Yeah,
why didn't you say
right
that?
So, and then you take it out and you finish it on high temperature, cast iron skillet that's just blazing hot, or on the egg if you can crank it up and get very, very hot.
Which you can.
And at that point, now you've got a perfectly done center, and then you've got that nice seared crust on the outside.
So there you have it, my friends. Where else do you find all that vast knowledge but right here on Chef and a Fat Man to Blue Collar Chefs, whether it's rabbit balls or it's venison on a reverse sear? All this and so much more makes for great tabletop conversation. But that's something that's, you know, it's like sous vide. Nobody heard of it for years and years and years. It's been going on for years and years and years. But now it became real popular. Now it's starting to, I'm not hearing it so much anymore. But for like the last year and a half, it was like, oh, sous vide, sous vide, sous vide.
Oh, no, it's very popular in restaurants and whatnot because just it's easier to prepare things. You can have something held at a temperature and it won't lose any moisture. It won't overcook. It's going to stay exactly where you want it to stay. So people that don't like sous vide in general just don't know how to cook with it.
You're right.
So, is that
so
you?
That's me. No, okay. You will never see boiled meat in my house. It's not going to happen.
Not boiled meat.
It's boiled meat in a big green giant vacuum pack.
It's not green. You just yeah, all right. I can't deal with you.
All right. Yes. Deal with you anyway, so. But the reverse searing is something that anybody can do at home. And one thing, too, is I've had people that take their cast iron skillet that they're going to sear it in, they'll put it in there for like 30 seconds and throw the meat in right away. Let that pan get hot.
Yes.
Give it about 5 minutes or so at 500 plus. Let that thing really, and then when you throw it in there, buddy, you're going to sear it. And it's going to take, and that's where really you can intensify your rubs. And any of the things that you want to put on there really intensifies it. It's kind of like what Paul Prudhomme started years ago with blackening. You're kind of blackening because that's what he would do. He would finish it real quick and get that nice crust on it and finish it. So it's a great way to do it. It doesn't really take that much more time, honestly, but you'll get a consistency, and it's very easy to do. Now, of course, if you're cooking on any other grill, as we like to say, Chef Eric, if you're cooking on any other grill than the egg, you're just
eating meat.
That's right. So this is a great little technique to use.
Yeah. All right, so what I've got here in the pan is I took the same exact pan that we cooked off the venison in. Again, there was butter and a little bit of olive oil in there. And monitoring the temperature so it doesn't blacken the butter, but it just browns the butter. Then we added in a leek, just the center, you know, part of the leek, not the dark green, not the end, obviously. And added in that cabbage back in. A little bit of Guinness just to deglaze the pan, so all that great fond from the venison comes up. A little bit more salt, a little bit of pepper, and then some dried cherries.
Nice.
Which, again, since with venison, I always have some sort of a fruit, a dark berry or, you know, dried cherry, cranberry, even blueberries and blackberries work very well. So a dark fruit, typically. You can also use figs. If you've never had fig with...
I've had fig Newtons.
No, that's totally...
You take, like, the scrape out, take off the beautiful outside... No?
It's actually totally different.
Okay.
And so you do like veal medallions with like a reduced fig sauce, and you can use some fresh figs and dried figs in that. But anyway, so this is all ready to go now to be incorporated with the meat. The reason we're doing this first is this all has to cool really nicely, so when we put them in the wontons, we don't start cooking the wonton from the inside.
Right.
All right, so I'm going to take these... venison tenderloins. I'm gonna reserve one of these.
Yes, I think you should.
I think I should. I think I just need three.
Yeah, that's all I would do.
We may have to do something with the last one a little bit later.
I think so.
All right, so take that, and I'm going to cut these, and again, not a lot of fat on these. You'll notice that the grain direction on these is running the length of the tenderloin, which is good. That means we can cut straight down, and we won't have a tenderness issue. Oh, boy. That's beautiful.
Oh, man. I wish you could see. Now, this is the part of the show where we have our famous show disclaimer. We are not responsible, nor is Cutter Cigar Emporium responsible for your dry cleaning or washing, because the drooling, slobbering, and stuff that people do every time they're waiting for the food, eating the food, and afterwards... is just not our responsibility to clean. And so this is very few times do you hear the kind of audience reaction. There's a lot of oohs and ahs. And,
well, we've done a lot of venison on the show here at Cutter's because of
John. Thanks to John, yes.
Yeah. And it's always fun because there's always some people who actually I know who started out not even liking venison are maybe liking it now.
Well, it's easy to see why, because if it's not done right, if you don't have a freshly harvested deer, if you don't have everything just right, and you don't have someone that really knows how to work with it, venison can be just tough meat. We absolutely look forward to, and Lou, the manager, and John work together a lot, and it's always a favorite time at Cutter Cigar Emporium when John is hunting, because then he's not here. So, you know, we look forward to hunting season every year. In fact, we're hoping they're going to extend the season this year. But, it's, yes, John.
No, just saying hi.
Yeah, yeah.
Waving after.
What, you lose some fingers? anyway, that's the reason why most people don't like venison. If you don't tell them it's venison and you prepare it right, they'll go, oh, my God, this is great. It's great.
So what I've done is I've cut across them. Now I'm going to cut each one of those little medallions that are all about... quarter inch thick. I'm going to cut those in half, so I get.
Are you going to make planks or just halves?
I'm planking them.
Yes.
So each one is cut down the length. So basically, I get smaller pieces.
Because it is, after all, going into an egg roll.
Yeah, it's going to go into an egg roll. So.
Although, you know, you could call it the fat man egg roll. You could just use one piece.
I think at this point I could just dump this in there and then serve it as a mixed dish.
And they'd say it's amazing. Yeah. But could you imagine that would be like the world's biggest venison roll? Maybe even a Guinness Book of World Records would look at it. You could take one tenderloin, put together a bunch of wraps, put that stuff in it, and no one's ever done it. So I'm just thinking for culinary history.
Uh-huh. Huh. Okay. So, hold on. I just have to cut a few more of these, and we'll be set to go.
Wow, that is... Oh. I got it. This is.
And they're really perfectly at mid-rare, just below mid-rare, which is exactly where we wanted it.
For those of you who aren't here, I will have these pictures posted probably before the recipe gets online. It's just the histoire of the show. But
well, I'm not actually following a specific recipe for this.
I'm saying, you know, sometime within 2016, 2017, we will have this recipe.
I'll have to go back and listen to the show to remember what I did.
There you go.
Whatever. All right. So the venison now is going to go in with the cabbage, leeks, and cherries.
It's beautiful.
Very nice. Very lovely. And actually, what I want to do here is...
take a commercial break. I knew that's what you were thinking.
We're going to do that.
It's all about food. It's all about fun. It's all about celebrating the good life. What better way to celebrate it with friends from the past and friends of the present and future? Chef and a Fat Man taking it to the streets of Alpharetta, Georgia.